You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Hodges. I am the host, and we are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Glad you could join us. We have a terrific show for you tonight. In hours number 2 and 3, we're going to be talking to former CIA officer Robert David Steele about President Trump, his administration, what he needs to do to become, as Robert says, the greatest president ever. We're also going to be talking a little bit about the state of Israel and how it's an impediment to the United States. No, we're not talking Jewish people. Okay, don't look for reasons to find enemies here. We are talking about Netanyahu, a man who's as criminal as Hillary and Obama, and he should be in prison. And we're going to talk about how he's trying to drag us into a war. It's going to be a terrific show. In this first hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Ted Brower from Health Masters. And man, we have a lot to talk about with world affairs, and we're going to limit it into the medicine end of things too, because, you know, I owe my good health to Dr. Ted. Anyway, this hour is brought to you by Renaissance Precious Metals. Steve Coyle is converting soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals, and when the crash comes, you're going to wish you had done this. And you can do it now. Give Steve a call tomorrow at 406-586-4842. That's 406-586-4842. And speaking of Steve, don't forget about his Transhumanism Conference. It's coming up September 14th to the 16th. I've got a banner for it right there on the website at thecommonsenseshow.com. And you're going to want to go and sign up because it's over 80% filled. Don't let the grass grow under your feet. I'm going to be there. I want to meet everybody. So go and sign up for that today. Also, we're brought to you by preparewithdave.com. And this is all the rage. They're having trouble keeping supplies in the store before they ship out. We're running low, and that's because people are taking advantage of this incredibly low price that we're offering, and it's the best offer in the country. 25-year shelf life, great quality, and the 4-week supply was $250. It's now $99, and we're going to go as long as supplies last because we want to remove all the obstacles that you have to becoming independent of the government. You need to have food as your preparation plan. Everybody does. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo. We can help you with the food. Go to the URL, write in preparewithdave.com. We're also brought to you by Ready Made Resources, King Prepper, Bob Griswold. You want anything from night vision, which he'll finance for you, to water filtration, to communications equipment. Bob Griswold's your guy. King Prepper is what I call him, and his address is readymaderesources.com. Go look and see what he has. Give him a call, and one of the best things about Bob, free consultations about your needs, readymaderesources.com. Well, that brings us up to our present guest, Ted Brower from Health Masters, and you heard me talk about it, my back, my knee. You heard the miracles that have happened right here on this show from Health Masters. Find out why. Go to healthmasters.com. And use the coupon code 5COMMON to take 5% off. Well, anyway, we're really grateful to have Ted on. Ted, my friend, welcome to the show. There is so much going on right now in the world that I don't even know where to start. You ever have that feeling too?
Dave, I want to talk to you about the immune system. I mean, we've got a major problem, and thanks for having me on. We have a major problem right now here in Florida with hospitals being packed, doctor's offices being filled with upper respiratory infections. We've had a front that has literally sat over us now for a week and a half with another week to sit here. The entire eastern seaboard is socked in, so to speak. And a lot of people are simply getting very, very sick. My mother-in-law is sick. She had a vitamin C IV last week. My youngest grandson, my grandson Hunter got sick. He basically was having running high fevers. We had to get him through that. My wife got sick. You know, I had a little bit of it, but it was triggered from me eating some food I shouldn't have eaten at a restaurant that I shouldn't have been eating from. And it only lasted about 3 days with me because my immune system is so strong. And also now my youngest granddaughter, Kendall, is only 4 months old, has an upper respiratory tract infection. And so this is a major problem. And I want to cover real quick with you guys that are listening today why this happens and why the primary cause of death from the flu, the Spanish flu from World War I, was not the flu. The primary cause of death from that, the tens of millions died, was pneumonia and the lungs filled with fluid. Now, what happens is this. You have two states. Stay with me. I'm going to make this as technical. I'm going to make it as simple as I can to the point of being accurate, but not completely accurate from the physiological standpoint. When you have a virus enter your body, it usually goes in through the nose or through your hands or you touch your nose, et cetera, touch your eyes. That's why it's so important to swab your nose out a couple of times a day if you're exposed to anyone or breathing bad air with colloidal silver. We have the 500 parts per million at the office that works great for that. It's a great price. It's an amazing product. I do that all of the time. Number two, when you have a virus that gets put into your body, it has two stages. It has what's called the lytic and it has a lysogenizing phase. Usually the lysogenizing phase is first. And what that is the body gets exposed to the virus and the virus looks around and goes, the terrain here, this body's too healthy. I'm never going to make it here. I'm going to sit. And that lysogenizing virus sits there, can stay incorporated into your cells for days, months, years, sometimes, some experts say. Then if the body starts to get run down, that virus goes to what's called a lytic, L-Y-T-I-C phase, a lytic phase in which its internal components are injected into the cell. They replicate. That cell explodes, releasing all the viral components into the body. So if you have the one virus that you get exposed to, the one cell, it gets injected into your cell. When that cell ruptures, it may release 10,000. Now, depending on the how long it takes, the incubation time it's called, for that cell to reproduce, to do that again, you'll start feeling kind of funny after that first cell ruptures. You won't feel quite right. Now, all of a sudden now, you got 10,000 more cells being infected with this. And if it's a 24-hour incubation period or a 12-hour incubation period, within 12 hours it releases again, then it releases again 12 hours later, and now you're in a full-blown what they call cytokine storm. Let me explain that. When your body basically gets exposed to a chemical or a compound or a virus like this, it goes into what's called a chemical messaging cycle. And what that means is this. If the body sees that it has a virus molecule sitting there, what it does, it turns around and says, okay, wait a minute, I need a macrophage over here, which is a white blood cell, to come eat this thing. The problem is if the macrophage isn't properly equipped with enough vitamin D, which it has to activate the macrophage, vitamin D activates the macrophages, work the white blood cells, it won't work, and the body will release more cytokines, chemical messengers, to bring more macrophages in. If the vitamin D still isn't there for these other macrophages, they can't produce enough. All these macrophages start releasing cytokines, and you have what's called a cytokine storm, which causes massive inflammation around the body. This also happens in children who are immunized when they have that, when they have an encephalitic scream when their brain is swelling from the cytokine storm due to immunizations. Happens all the time, and many times these kids come back the following day, and they're no longer your child. Basically, they're autistic. Happens all the time with kids, happens all the time in the flu. So what happens is this causes, the cytokine storm is what causes the fluid to fill in the lungs, causing pneumonia, which can kill you. This is the problem. So the whole key here, Dave, since whatever they're spraying on us here in Florida, they're probably going to be beta testing here, everybody needs to keep their immune system strong. So like I got this stuff on Wednesday, on Saturday. By Monday afternoon, I was fine. It was over with. I was off everything. I wasn't doing anything. But also, the first thing you notice, if you get a sore throat, start with astragalus. It's all part of our immune system protocol at healthmasters.com. Start with astragalus. You can take like four of them three times a day and try to knock it out, because the astragalus will pretty much kill anything if you get it into the system before that thing starts really replicating. Also, make sure you have enough vitamin C and enough vitamin D3. If you don't catch it and it gets into your lungs and your lungs start filling with fluid and you start getting a bad cough, you need immediately, if you have it available in your area, go to a medical doctor, if he will do it, and have him give you like 50,000 milligrams of intravenous vitamin C. It'll take about 2 to 3 hours to drip into your blood vessels, and that will convert into hydrogen peroxide in the blood, which will allow your system basically to kill the virus almost immediately. Sometimes it may take 2 vitamin C IVs. Last week, Sharon caught this stuff. She had to go to the, she went to the doctor on Thursday, excuse me, on Wednesday, got her vitamin C IV, felt a lot better, but it didn't kill everything. And Dave, she had to go back in again. She relapsed today for another vitamin C IV. So it's so important to understand how dangerous this can be, how pneumonia can kill you, and how this stuff is easily preventable if you have a strong immune system. But I wanted to start the show off with that today because it's so important that you take supplements on a daily basis, at least 12.5 milligrams of potassium iodide. We have the nascent iodine at the office. It's very inexpensive. It's around $20 a bottle. Other companies and other places online are selling for 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 bucks. It's ridiculous. You can get it. It works great. Nascent iodine, it's around $20 a bottle. I don't know the exact number of it. You can look it up. And also keep your astragalus. The D3 you should be taking every single day until your D3 levels get to around 60 to 70 to 80 and stop there. Never take D3 without K2. Very, very important. And always take at least 2 to 4,000 milligrams of vitamin C every single day. You say, well, that's a lot of pills to take. Okay, you're right. That's a lot of stuff to take. I'm not going to argue with you about that. But what's it worth to you? I mean, let me ask you a question. I mean, people say, well, you know, I don't want to take it because I've got to take an extra 3 pills. I don't look at them as pills. I look at them as supplements and nutrients. It's like somebody asked me the other day, you know, what do you think about the peas? I said, I don't know. I thought the peas were pretty good on the plate. But I didn't count the peas, did I? I didn't say I ate 100 peas tonight. That's how I look at supplements, Dave. I look at them as food sources, as food supplements. And I don't think about what I'm taking as far as the number. So I may take 10 or 12 or 15 different supplements a day. And that's okay because I feel absolutely great. This stuff hit me for a couple of days. I was fine. Now, also, guys, one more thing I got to tell you. If you start getting really bad head congestion, you start hammering Sudafed, you got to watch that stuff. Sudafed is a very strong medicine. Some people believe it should be actually sold only, you know, via prescription. It will swell up your prostate to the point where you can't urinate. I have heard of people from my local doctor who I work with here who have come into his office who had to be catheterized because they could not urinate after being on Sudafed. And this is pseudoephedrine hydrochloride. You have to basically, in the state of Florida now, give them your driver's license if you're going to buy it because it's used to make meth. But it's very important if you're going to use this that you take my prostate support, a lot of it. If you're taking Sudafed throughout the day, I would take 4 prostate support in the morning and 4 prostate support at night, and it'll help prevent that. In addition to that, if you're having prostate issues, you can take that, and it really helps to stop you from having to get up in the middle of the night and urinate, which I don't have to do. I'm 62 years old. I don't have to get up at all in the middle of the night, which really messes up your REM sleep, by the way, your rapid eye movement sleep, if you're getting up all night using the bathroom. So, guys, there's natural things you can do for your prostate gland. There's natural things you can do to build your immune system, and we just covered a whole bunch of those right now at the beginning of this show, Dave. So where do you want to go from now? I've got some stuff I want to talk about. But that's entirely up to you as far as what you want to do.
Well, we should mention, too, I mean, this is such good advice because I'm hearing the same thing that you just described about inflammation from other people that I know. And people here who are part of our audience, get that discount, 5 common, keep that in mind. And where would I like to go? Well, this is something I hate to broach because I'm going to say this very bluntly, Ted. Donald Trump, regardless of his shortcomings, is still the only girl in town. The option is Hillary, Elizabeth Warren. I could go on and on. In fact, I heard a nightmare ticket the other day. If Trump is put out of the way, Pence and Nikki Haley.
There you go.
Bad would that be?
That's the dynamic duo from hell. You know, the whole thing about it is, Dave, it's just a mess. And now Trump has basically decided not to try to negotiate our trade deficit with the Chinese anymore. He's capitulating on that. Last week I had Gerald Celente on the show because Austin and I do a show every day on Global Star from 3 to 4. You guys can go to our website at healthmasters.com and find out how to link up to it if you want to hear that show also every day. And we talk about the same kind of stuff that I'm talking with Dave about right now. And Trump has capitulated. He's basically, you know, backed out of the trade dealing with, you know, with China, with sanctions. And what's crazy is last week, Gerald Celente said the only thing that Trump could possibly do that would benefit the country at this point is to negotiate better trade deals. And now he's basically capitulating on that because that's because he doesn't run the White House. And see, we have to understand something, guys. When our country was hijacked with the assassination of John F. Kennedy back in the 60s, when the CIA took over everything over, the CIA is a satanic organization. They had witches on payroll. I mean, this is a bad group of people that do bad things to people. It's like Gina Haspel now being approved for the head of the CIA, and she's a known serial torturer. I mean, these are not good people that Trump's putting into office because I have to believe he doesn't have a choice on who he's putting in at this point. So what we have to get is this, is that if we're going to correct the republic, we've got to call it what it is. We can't pretend like it's not happening. And like, you know, people are always saying, well, what about Snopes? You know, Snopes says this and Snopes says that. Well, guess what happened with Snopes? Investigative journalist Wayne Madsen basically did the facts about Snopes and fact-checking websites. And according to Madsen, Snopes was formed. Now, stay with me, guys. Snopes, where everybody gets their stupid information from as far as whether it's true or not, was formed by the CIA for the express purpose of stifling subversive outlets and spreading disinformation and propaganda on the Internet. And until 2013, the CIA had to do this on the lowdown because propaganda wasn't legal yet in the United States. But then Barack Obama, we want to thank him for legalizing propaganda and psychological operations aimed at influencing U.S. public opinion when he passed an amendment to the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 in his NDAA for fiscal year 2013 that allows the State Department, the CIA, to go beyond manipulating mainstream media outlets, which they've done for 50, 60 years, and directly disseminating campaigns of information to the U.S. public, such as the Mueller investigation. Guys, this is what we're dealing with in this country. We have been completely and taken over by the CIA, which is being run through the international banking cartel, that's who controls them, which is the Sabbatean Kabbalists, which were the Luciferians, who then answer to Lucifer himself, apparently, is what they say, and to their D-Wave computer, and to tying us into an alternative dimension. This is how it breaks down. We gave our ability to the Congress people that we voted in. They've been compromised through pedophilia. They've been compromised through drugs. They've been compromised through whores. They've been compromised through, you know, what, adultery or whatever. And now they've turned around and they've given it over to the intelligence agency, to the military-industrial complex, who's run by the CIA, who, as I just mentioned, follows this scalar principle all the way down. Guys, this is a major, major problem that we have right now. Look at what happened in the Vatican. This past week, about 30 of the top cardinals in Chile finally had enough, and they said, you know what, we can't deal with this anymore, allowing all of these children to be raped by these priests, to these pedophiles in the doggone Vatican. And 30 of these people down in Chile, they basically up and resigned, Dave, because they had enough. In fact, this is what it says, groundbreaking bishops resign en masse over Catholic sexual abuse of young boys and covering up for pedophiles. Today marks the groundbreaking day of recognition for sexual abuse survivors of the Catholic Church. This week, Pope Francis had an emergency Vatican summit with 34 bishops connected to the Catholic Church's sex abuse scandal. The Pope confessed there's been grave negligence in investigating the abuse and protecting children within the Catholic Church by these guys that are basically gay, who are priests that are sodomizing these young children. And then Pope Francis comes out and says today that being a homosexual does not matter, that God made you like this and loves you like this. So now he's saying it's okay if you guys sodomize each other. God likes that because it does not matter. He loves you and he likes this. I mean, this is absolutely crazy. This Pope is saying stuff like this, and it's to justify this sexual abuse in the Vatican day, and it nauseates me. And I cannot believe this guy is being left in a position of authority. Even though last week he did say because of the controversy he's been engaged in, he may consider stepping down, which the Catholic Church needs to make him step down quickly. This guy is a mess, and now he is completely going against what the book of Leviticus says, the book of Deuteronomy says, the Torah, the five first books of Levitical law, the law, the word, the words that were spoken to Moses, the Pentateuch, which is the whole basis of Christianity and Judaism. And he's saying that God, it does not matter that you're a homosexual, that God made you like this, and he loves you like this, to justify the behavior of why they're sodomizing these young children. This really ticks me off, Dave, that the Pope has compromised the entire Vatican and the Catholic Church by allowing this behavior to continue and now justify it. What do you think?
It's beyond belief. In fact, I'll even add one in here. Let's throw another log on this fire. The Pope went out and basically said about a year and a half ago that Chrislam is fine with him, the combination of Christianity and Islam, as if these two religions could ever be compatible, which they can't. And what's even more disturbing, Ted, is this. We're pointing out the shortcomings of a man, not a religion, a man, a pervert. And yet we're going to get categorized by some people as being anti-Catholic.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. You're always anti-something. I say on my show, I'm an equal opportunity offender. If Germany does something stupid like letting Angela Merkel run in millions of Muslims and barbarian gang-raping hordes into her country, you know, I'm going to say Angela Merkel's an idiot. Okay? If England does the same thing, I'm going to say England's an idiot. If France has done the same thing, I'm going to say their leadership is an idiot. Plus the guy now, their president says he wants to rule France like a Greek god, you know, I guess from the Pantheos. I don't know what this guy wants. This guy's a nut. Okay? Then you got Italy trying to do stuff to stop it. You got Hungary stopping it. All these different countries. Then you got Israel, and we have to deal with all of the issues that's going on right now with the bombing of Syria. And you say, well, I don't like that Israel's doing this. Okay, you're anti-Semitic. Okay, all right. You don't like what the Pope said. Okay, you're anti-Catholic. Okay. You don't like what the French are doing. Okay, you're anti-French. Okay, you don't like what the Germans are doing. You're anti. No, I'm not. I'm not any of those things. I'm anti-New World Order. I'm anti all of this garbage that we're having to put up with all the time and all of this disinformation. I'm anti-Satanism. I'm anti-New World Order. I'm anti-secret societies. I'm anti all of those things that have brought us to this position. I mean, people understand, the Vatican ruled the planet, you know, directly or indirectly with Rome for 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. You know, we got to understand how this all happened, and all the way up into 323, the Vatican continued to rule until Constantine brought in the Christian church and basically took the Christian church and just paganized it, you know, with all his holidays. And then, of course, he took out the Book of Enoch, which explains everything that happened with the fallen angels, which we've talked about many times in your show in Genesis chapter 6, which I don't need to go into that topic again today. And then he turned right around, and then the Vatican ruled the Western world, Western civilization, you know, for over 1,000, 2,000 years. And the Pope would put people in to power and put kings into power, and they would all be ruled through the Vatican. Of course, Henry VIII threw the Vatican out and started the Church of England, and then Martin Luther came in and said, "Genug of this," which in German means enough. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. You're telling people if they read the Bible, you're going to kill them, and you're telling them that they can get out of hell free cards. You say, well, what do you mean get out of hell free cards? They're called indulgences. They were selling indulgences to people to get their family out of hell if they gave them money to build these giant cathedrals all over Europe. And Luther said, what are you guys, nuts? We can't be selling get-out-of-hell-free cards. That's not in the Bible. We need to be letting everybody read the Bible. And then Gutenberg came in, developed his press, started printing the Bible and giving it to everybody. Everybody started realizing what a mess the Catholic Church had been doing for 1,500, 1,600 years. Now, guys, this is where we are today. And now this Catholic Church, this admiralty law, if you want to call it that, or the stuff that happened all the way back in Rome, has been set up and run through us for thousands of years. And, guys, the problem with all of this is that you got the admiralty people with the Catholic Church, you've got the Bank of England, the Vatican, tied together, you know, with the Rothschild banking cartel, you got it tied together with Vatican City, you got it tied together with, you know, the Bank of the City of London, and you've got it tied together with, you know, with the United States Capitol, with the District of Columbia. You got these three ruling centers. One is the spiritual, one is the money, and one is the doggone military realm of this new world order that's trying to tie itself together to turn us back into a globalist feudal system to make everybody slaves. And on top of all that, Dave, there's too many of us to try to control, so they want to bring the population back down to 100 million or so, or 200 million or 500 million, or whatever they want to pick on their Georgia guidestones to try to prevent us from having the ability to continue to do what we do. In fact, some countries out there involved in vitro fertilization now and gene editing in children are actually going out now and bringing surrogates in from all over the world and using, you know, and fertilizing them with embryos for the child sex trafficking slave trade and for parents who cannot have children. They're selling children. I mean, this stuff is happening all over the planet now, And we need to speak up and say, no, we're not going to allow any of this stuff to go on. We've got to return back to the principles of Christianity and say, no, none of this stuff is okay. We're not going to stay with it anymore. We're not going to continue to do this. But, guys, we are so deep down this hole now that a place in Western Virginia now, a school board is being sued because they're forcing their children, their 12, 14, 15-year-old children, to watch pornography, active pornography, videotape pornography on screens in the school to force them to understand about sexuality. And the sad part about it is they don't bother to tell these parents and these children how incredibly addictive that stuff is with dopamine triggers in the brain, nor do they tell them that this perversion they're teaching these children isn't okay and it's not part of God's law. Now they're under a big lawsuit to try to get them to stop it because those God-fearing parents had enough of it. And this is what's going on. It's this atavistic hatred of Christianity by the people who run the pornography business, the synagogue of Satan that runs this. You know, 95% of the world's pornography is out of the Hollywood area. And, of course, Hollywood hates Christians and has hated Christians for thousands of years, way before Hollywood was here, all the way back to the time of Rome. Guys, this is so important that we understand this is a spiritual battle we're fighting and that we have to maintain due diligence in order to understand who and what these people are doing and who and what the players in this game, or as William Guy Carr says in his book that everyone needs to read, Pawns in the Game by William Guy Carr, that we're basically being used as pawns. Another good book to read that you can get both these books for free offline is Topper Saucy, Rulers of Evil. That book's very important to read. Read that book, Pawns in the Game, and then read William Guy Carr's unfinished book, and it ties into detail more of the spiritual aspects of what's going on. And then another one that Stanley Monteith wrote called Rulers of Evil. If you read all of these books, it'll make you have a better understanding of who and what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a druidic culture that goes back thousands of years, all the way back to fallen angels, to human sacrifice, to Baal worship, to basically Moloch worship. And all of this stuff is still with us today. Stanley Kubrick, Dave, tried to show it to us in Eyes Wide Shut. They refused to allow him to show his entire movie, and he suddenly died. And 15 minutes of the key material showing who these people were was cut out of the movie. This is what's going on right now on today's planet. And guys, if we don't stop this, if we don't stop this 5G network, if we don't stop this dimensional interface with the D-Wave computer, and all of these things that we've talked about in depth, if we don't stop what's going on in the United States at this point and globally at this point, there won't be a planet or a world that's going to be worth living on in another 100, 150 years, Dave. What do you think?
I think we're already there. Our kids are already brainwashed. Millennials want socialism. They won't move out of their parents' house. I actually saw a case yesterday in the news where a millennial was being taken to court by their parents because he wouldn't move out at the age of 30. And these people want someone to take care of them. They have no initiative to stand up to evil. And everything you're talking about here, Ted, is evil. And it requires people with backbones to stand up. And our younger generation is incapable.
Well, Dave, it's about me. Let me explain something to you. There's a term in psychology. It's called the alpha male. And now it's gotten a bad rap with a lot of people saying, well, you don't want to be an alpha male. Well, no. In a wolf pack, you have an alpha male, you have the head male that basically has his pack of female wolves that he runs around with. Then you also have an alpha female wolf, and she basically is the lead huntress in the party that go out and, kill whatever. So this is the term where alpha male came from. It deals with predatory instincts. It deals with the animal kingdom more than it does with humans. But when you apply it to men, what I'm talking about and how I'm defining an alpha male is a God-fearing man who loves Jesus Christ with all of his heart and all of his mind, who loves his wife, who wants to treat her as the weaker vessel, which is what the Bible says women are because they're not as strong physically as we are in most cases. And he wants to make sure he takes care of her and does everything he possibly can to ensure her survival and her safety, and to take care of her from a financial standpoint. Now, I realize that we have women who earn more money than men right now, and the women are the primary breadwinners. I got that. I'm not belaboring that point at all. But what I'm saying is the man needs to be the spiritual leader of the house. People need to know in this family, real quick, when he says no, that his yay is going to be yay, and his nay is going to be nay, and he's not going to quibble about little stuff. It's like with my family, with my kids. They know if I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If they say I'm not going to do something, I'm not going to do it. And they know if I tell them to do something that's for their best interest, they choose not to do it, they got to deal with the consequences. And see, this is what people need to be. an alpha male. They need to be a leader, a natural-born, strong Christian leader. We don't have that in society, except for very rarely nowadays. We have men, basically, that have been beaten into submission because of the first feminist wave, the second feminist wave, the third feminist wave, and now we're in the fourth feminist wave. And they're being beaten into submission that if they even hold a door open for a woman, they get cussed at or screamed at and called a male chauvinistic pig, which, by the way, I have had that happen to me when I was younger. And it's something that you don't understand, that this has permeated our culture until men now have become a mere shadow of themselves, and they have now retreated into their sports networks, into their 500 sports channels, and they sit on the couch eating their Doritos, you know, laced with MSG, drinking their diet sodas laced with aspartame in an alpha brainwave state or a theta brainwave state, basically drooling on themselves, wishing that they were on the field to play and actually were a participant in the sport because they have been taken out of the participation of life. This is what's happened to our men. Now, we have to change that. The men need to turn that stupid TV set off. They need to get engaged with their children. They need to be having dinner with their kids at night at dinner table. They need to be engaging their children in conversation as to what they did that day during school. And they need to find out if their stinking teachers, by the way, can watch pornography for 2 hours or for an hour during the class. And if they are, that guy needs to raise holy hell and go up to the doggone school and start pitching a fit and go to the school board pitching a fit and start campaigning against these people and file a lawsuit if he has to stop this nasty stuff. Guys, this is what alpha males are. This is how I define them. Now, see, we don't need to do that. Now, on the other hand, we also need alpha females. My wife is an alpha female. She knows that she runs the household. Unless I say, well, let's not do it that way. We can't do it that way. She knows exactly what that means. She's okay. Then she doesn't argue with me about it. But she also runs the children. She controls the children. She raises the children, does more than I do with the kids. And so we have this very good relationship in which we both know what our respective roles are and our role roles for the children. In other words, she kind of does the household stuff, you know, with the help of the kids and make sure everything runs right in the household. It's like a Proverbs 31 woman is what she is. And I'm the one that basically goes and does what I need to do as far as making sure from an overall standpoint that everything runs. Now, what I don't do is I do not micromanage my wife. I don't walk up to her and watch every 3 minutes of what she does and tell her what to do. If she goes out with one of her friends to go shopping, I don't call her up at all. I let her do what she needs to do. If she needs to call me, she can call me. I don't call her up every 20 minutes and say, when are you going to be home? When are you going to be home? When are you going to be home? I don't do that. I leave her be. See, and this is the relationship that the children need to see, that everybody has clear-cut responsibilities and guidelines of which they should and shouldn't do. We don't do that anymore. Here's the example. Now we have a whole bunch of broken home families in which the mother is trying to be both the alpha male and the alpha female. And all these young boys that have been basically chemically castrated in utero because they were given soy formula when they were young, or when their mother was drinking soy formula when they were in utero, or she was drinking foods, eating a lot of foods that had female hormones in them when the baby was inside of her. So the baby comes out gender confused to begin with. Happens a lot. That's why we're seeing so much of it now. And then the mother and the dad get divorced, and now the son starts emulating the mother's alpha female behavior. And he becomes an alpha female, starts acting like a girl, talking like a girl, walking like a girl, because the man's not there. You know, God designed this family unit to have a husband and a wife. That's why mentorship programs are so important, ladies, if you're trying to raise a child. That's why having really strong, godly men in your Sunday school class teaching your children is very, very important, especially when they get past the age of 8 or 9, when they start developing, you know, sexual desires and all these other things, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. They need to have a good alpha male as a role model, which we're not having in society anymore. Studies have shown repeatedly that if a woman raises a child and she's very, very dominant, that child has a much higher probability, if it's a boy, of becoming a gay boy. Invariably, if two lesbians adopt a gay boy, very, very high probability, I'm sorry, adopt a boy, very high probability the two gay women will have a gay son. But here's funny. Here's on the other side. This is on the other side of the coin, though. It's also been shown, and it's not as high a probability as with the lesbians, that if two gay guys adopt a boy, in many cases, that boy's not gay because he has that male role model in his life, and he's chosen not to participate in the homosexual behavior. So it's one of those things. Human beings are a very complicated group of people as far as psychological things. And it's important that we understand that we have to maintain the proper role model for our boys and our girls. And you say, well, you sound like a feminist. I am not. You know, I don't. I'm not a feminist. A male chauvinist. I'm not that. I don't approve of feminism. I don't approve of male chauvinism. I think men should treat women with equal respect. People say to me, "How in the world do you and Sharon have such a good marriage?" And my response is always this: we each give 100%. In other words, I give her 100%. She gives me 100%. And we have our role, and we have our roles clearly defined as what our each of our responsibilities are. And if there's an issue with that, we sit down and we talk about it. Example: a week ago, Sharon signs up for Facebook, right? And I don't like Facebook. Don't like it at all. It's a CIA spy tool. That's all it is. It's an information gathering tool. That's all it is. Everybody knows that now, and it sells your information. So I told her, I said, I don't mind you doing that, to a degree of not giving out personal information, if you want to keep in touch with your family or your schoolmates from high school, et cetera, I don't care. I said, but you got to control yourself. Well, after about a week into it, Dave, she didn't realize the dopamine triggers it was causing, and she was already spending 3 and 4 hours a day on Facebook. This was like this weekend. And finally, I looked at her, and I said, Sharon, I said, I got to talk to you about the Facebook thing. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, you're really spending way too much time on it. And she goes, no, I'm not. And I said, yeah, you are. I said, let's count how much time you've been. Let's see how many posts you've put on since last week. Well, I don't want to count my posts. Well, she'd put hundreds and hundreds of posts on it, Dave, in a week. And I said, Sharon, this is too much. I said, you've got to be careful with the information you're giving out, and you can't allow this thing to program your brain. I said, the founders of these social media outlets like Facebook, a lot of them don't even allow their children to use it because this programs your brain with dopamine triggers. You're always constantly having to find out how many likes you have and how many people responded. I said, this is a mind control tool of the New World Order. I said, if you're going to do it 10 minutes a day, be done with it. I said, don't be looking at it all the time. And I said, it'll make a huge difference as far as the ability you have to continue to interact with us. And finally, she came over about 10 minutes later. She goes, you know, you're absolutely right. I've gotten out of hand with it. I said, I know. And then a few minutes later, I was preparing for the show for the day, and I was working on some stuff, and I was listening to an email or a video. She goes, Ted, you're spending too much time on your iPad. And I said, you're absolutely right, Sharon. You're absolutely right. I am spending too much time on it. I'll cut it back. And I just turned it off. She started laughing. She goes, you'd do that, wouldn't you? I said, well, yeah. I said, I'm going to show you that I can take it as well as I can give it. I said, because we're basically the same person. We're one flesh, like the Word of God says, and we have to treat each other accordingly with mutual respect. And guys, that's what you have to do. If your children see you treat your wife like that, if your girls see you treat your wife like that, if your boys treat your wife like that, they're going to treat their spouses the same way. And we can stop this nonsense, Dave, and we can put proper role models out there for the children that we have right now that are growing up without role models. What do you think?
You just said a mouthful, but I'm confused on how we can teach gender roles to our children when the so-called societal experts tell us there's 97 different genders now.
Well, we have to tell them what the Word of God says, Dave. And see, and that's the most important. To me, the Bible says that the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is not a man; He does not lie; He shall not change. And you know, and we've talked out of the Old Testament before, and I've done shows with you over the years about scriptural nutrition, about how the Old Testament gave us dietary guidelines that we need to follow that people don't follow today, like not eating pork or not eating shellfish, not eating rats, you know, that kind of stuff. It talks about not eating rats. I mean, we don't need to be doing stuff like that. The Bible tells us not to, not because we're under the law, because we're under grace, but because these are principles that God gave us. He said, not one jot, not one tittle will disappear from the law until all of these things are fulfilled. And he says, don't you know that ye yourselves are God's temple, and that God's spirit lives within you? And if you destroy God's temple, he will destroy you. And that word destroy you means, and destroy in the Greek, that he will allow long and lingering and wasting diseases and illnesses to come upon you simply because you're transgressing the word. That's what happens. That's why in the book of Deuteronomy, it tells the Jews, it says, by the way, if you do this and you eat this and you act like this, you're going to be blessed. And if you don't do this and you do this, you're going to be cursed. And he says, so I set before you today, I set blessings and I set curses. And he says, now, he tells the Jews, choose the blessings and don't be cursed. I mean, you know, there you go. See, and that's what we're trying to tell the people today. There's natural things that you can do to stay healthy. There's natural things that you can do not to be cursed, not to be dealing with the diseases of the damned. Because remember, if you're cursed, you're damned. That's what the word says. If you're blessed, you're blessed. And so people understand, if you're suffering the diseases of the damned because you're not listening to the word of God, it's because you've tried to break the word of God because of your dietary habits. And the problem is you can't break the word of God because, again, Dave, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's to answer your question. That's how we determine proper role models. If we have to, we homeschool our children, which I've done. If we have to, we make sure that we have Bible studies with our children, which I have done. If we have to, which we should, study with, you know, pray with our children every single day, which I have done. And those are the things that we as role models need to do. And then if you're having the kids in a worldly environment, you can always say, okay, I'm going to continue to do the things that we do as Christians. I mean, Harrison, when he was 15 years old, my youngest son, who's now graduated at the age of 18 with his bachelor's degree, summa cum laude, from a secular university, from a secular school, he has not changed. He still goes to church. He still goes to Sunday school. And he was around all that secular mess, including, you know, the gay professors and all the rest of that at the school. But it didn't affect him because he was grounded in what the Word of God says. And the first thing he did when he went off to college now for his MBA program is he found himself a church to go to, Dave, to go find another youth group of college kids to hang out with and not to hang out with the secular people. It's so important that we set the example for our children at home to the best of our abilities, Dave. And that answers that question of what we can do, because the world is going to always be out there. The Sodom and Gomorrah is always going to be out there, and it's always going to be pulling on these kids. And we have to do the best we can from a Christian standpoint to maintain that standard at home.
Well, Ted, let's go a step further. California has done a number of controversial things, as you know, outlawing the sale of the Bible. But the most outrageous thing they're doing, because you can get around the sale of the Bible if you homeschool your kids, and they're trying to outlaw the homeschooling of kids. How would you advise California parents to deal with this?
Move.
400,000 Californians are moving.
I mean, there's a certain point, you know, in Nazi Germany, when the persecute, what happened in Nazi Germany, because of the Versailles Treaty, because of the Rothschild Bank involvement with the Versailles Treaty, because of the international banking community, you know, Hitler wrote a book called Mein Kampf, and he basically started hammering all Jews, which was ridiculous because 99% of the Jews have nothing to do with any of this. It's that synagogue of Satan group that claims to be Jews, which is this. I'm quoting you from the Bible now, from the book of Revelation. They claim to be Jews, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. It's this group that runs Hollywood. It's this group that has the atavistic hatred towards Christians. They're the ones that run 95% of the pornography globally. These are those guys. They're the ones that run the international banking cartels. These are the ones that Stanley Kubrick was talking about, along with other members of this group that are not Jewish at all, nor do they claim to be, including people like the Clintons and the Bushes and a whole bunch of people out of the Vatican and the royal family. And all those people are all tied together with this in their secret societies. I mean, Skull and Bones, that sounds like something that's going to be really a godly organization to you, really? I mean, there's some really sick people out there, and they're tied together under one common banner, under one common denominator. That would be Luciferianism or Satanism, and they basically believe that, you know, we're going to become gods, and Lucifer is the best god, and our god's a bad god, and Yahweh's a bad god, and this is what these guys believe. And it doesn't matter whether they're Jewish or anything else, because a lot of them aren't Jewish. They're involved in this whole movement, Dave, and that's what we have to understand, is if we have that movement controlling a particular state, if we can't stop it from a legislative level, we simply have to do as hundreds of thousands of other Californians have already done, and leave the state and say, they no longer reflect my values. If they want to do this, let them do this, but we're going to leave. In fact, Austin and I talked earlier about how there's going to be a massive, massive earthquake, tectonic shift in California that's going to probably cause a huge exodus of the people anyhow. And we have to understand that, you know, we have a problem with this whole thing with plate tectonics. I mean, we got to look at HAARP for a second now. You know, when Haiti had their earthquake over Haiti, over the island where the earthquake occurred, there was a giant glowing light in the sky. Same thing happened over Japan. And a lot of people believe that it's the use of HAARP that's triggering these earthquakes. Remember, guys, almost all of these earthquakes that are happening now are happening at the 10-kilometer depth. And this is exactly where HAARP works. If you put an 11-hertz wave through the ground, and it can be actually modulated to trigger earthquakes through the control of scalar fields. James Maxwell talked about this in his 4D scalar field theory that has been removed from the public domain because it's used in HAARP. And remember, it's also been taught with Victor Schauberger in the solutions of the general field equation. These guys are all working together to form what's called scalar waves with HAARP, and they can trigger plate tectonics at the 10-kilometer depth. And if that happens in California with a San Andreas fault, then what's going to end up happening is we're going to have a huge huge earthquake there, which will also trigger mass migrations out of California, which they tried to do last year with all of the mudslides and all the rain, and before that with all of the droughts. I mean, they're really hammering California. I guess they're trying to get that liberal-based mindset out of California and all over the United States. I don't know. I know they've ruined Colorado with that now. It used to be one of the most conservative, Republican, gun-toting states in the country, and now it's turned into a liberal nightmare, especially out of Denver, which controls almost all the politics for the entire state. Dave, what do you think?
Well, you're talking about my home state there, and you're absolutely right. I talked to a friend of mine who's moved back. In fact, I've had two friends move back to the Denver area, and one of them said something just dramatic. He said, Dave, I read your articles on Colorado 3 and 4 years ago when you were talking about the introduction of extreme Agenda 21 policies, can't trap rainwater and all that such nonsense. And he said, Dave, I just didn't want to believe it, because we both grew up here, and I moved back, and he says, I feel like I'm in a foreign country being run by communists without reason.
I want to go back to one thing. I forgot to say this. When the Jewish population in Germany, when Untermeyer issued that proclamation, and basically Samuel Untermeyer, that the international Jewish population had basically declared war on Germany in 1933, and the great persecution started happening towards the Jews in Germany. The Jews that had the financial wherewithal or the sense or both, many of them left and, you know, went to different countries. They went to Switzerland, they went to Italy, they went to the United States. They left Germany because they knew what was coming. See, and this is what we have to understand. When you see something like this happening in California with this massive liberal takeover and you see this, we have to realize that maybe now we're the ones that need to be paying attention and understanding that, hey, maybe we don't need to be staying in California or any of these extremely communist states. Because remember, all of this stuff, the communist intrusion into the United States didn't occur until the Soviet, until the fall of Russia with the family, with the Rothschilds that were underwriting all of this stuff. And see, this all happened, and that communist indoctrination was shifted, and the people left Russia and came into Germany and tried to make Russia, Germany, you know, communist. And it went throughout the world, and a lot of these same people then immigrated into the United States. Into Hollywood. And see, this is the same group that has been doing this stuff, the synagogue of Satan, throughout time. And you would take it all the way back to Druidic worship. It doesn't have, and the Bible calls it the synagogue of Satan, which was written thousands of years ago. But this is the same group that learned a lot of their magic arts from the Egyptians, who had learned a lot of this from the stuff from the Genesis chapter 6. A lot of the Druidic worship and Druidic priests were all part of this. These were the sorcerers and the witchcraft people. This has been going on now since, you know, the beginning of time with the fallen angels. In the book of Enoch, it talks about this. And so this whole lineage comes all the way through. That's why these people who run the planet, they consider themselves to be the benign Dean Nephilim, sons of the fallen. They claim they can trace their lineage all the way back to Lucifer. And see, this is the group that's trying to reshape the planet into something really horrible to accommodate Lucifer so they can resurrect their serpent god from the pit. And this is, in fact, if you listen to any of Pastor Trell's stuff, he goes into detail on this stuff. And guys, this is why we have to understand what the Bible says. This isn't a battle against flesh and blood, but against all of these principalities and these other dimensions. And the Word of God is very clear about all that. So people are always saying to me, well, do you believe in angels? I said, yeah. And I said, well, do you believe in extraterrestrials? I said, well, what do you think an angel is? An angel is an extraterrestrial. They're not from around here. They're from another dimension. And so, yeah, I believe in aliens too. You can call them whatever you want to call them. And see, and this is what I always tell people. You know, don't be shocked if the Vatican comes out and say, oh, by the way, we have an alien invasion. How do we know who these aliens or what these aliens are? How do we know any of this stuff if Project Bluebeam goes hot? How do we know what they're doing? So always be prepared that the Bible warned us a long, long time ago that we were not alone, Dave.
Define we're not alone. What does the Bible mean by that in your view?
Well, the Bible doesn't say we're not alone. It doesn't say that. But we're not alone means that we have angels that have appeared repeatedly in the Old Testament who appear from the ether, they called it, basically from just appeared from an invisible state from another dimension who showed up. You know, we've got beings walking through walls, et cetera. We've got angels floating and singing in the sky. I mean, we're not here alone. These are not human beings doing this. That's how I'm defining we are not alone. And I think Rush Dizdar says we have a dozen different types of angels that are clearly defined in the Bible that are separate species, separate entities. And so we have at least that many different entities running around that we know of that's been defined by the Bible that Rush Dizdar has talked about many, many times. And this is what we have to get. as Christians, we have to realize that, do you really think that God made the whole universe for us to be in by ourselves? Okay? And we'll say, and then you say, well, he didn't mention anybody else in the Bible. Well, sure, he talked about the angels all the time. But he didn't talk about other planets having peoples and populations on them. Well, no, he didn't. But does he have to clear that with you? Does he have to make sure you understand what he's trying to say in the Bible? I mean, he'd have to clear that with you. He didn't have to clear that with me. But he's already told us they exist. You know, we don't know where they hang out. You know, I asked Chuck Missler. He's dead now. I really respected him. Brilliant, brilliant theologian. I was having lunch with him a few years ago, and he died a couple of weeks ago. May he rest in peace. And I remember I asked him, I said, hey, Chuck, tell me about these angels. He goes, okay. And I said, what about these spaceships and all the stuff that we see in the sky? I said, could this be some type of propulsion system that these aliens or these angels are using? He goes, well, yeah, of course. And I said, well, how do you believe that? He goes, well, why do you think that we can tell an angel or another being from another dimension how they're supposed to travel? And I'm like, well, yeah, I haven't really thought about that. And see, this is the problem that we get in with dogma, Dave, because we're told a certain thing, and our generation was told that certain thing. We have a tendency to believe that. The same thing happened with the Scofield Bible, with Untermeyer. I mean, Samuel Untermeyer is the one. If you do the research on the Scofield Bible, I know we're almost out of time, so I'm not going to talk about it much. But Samuel Untermeyer basically hired Scofield, who had stolen his notes and stuff from Darby, to write the Scofield Bible, which dealt with, you know, a Bible that put a lot of footnotes into the column as far as what the globalists wanted the Christians to believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what happened is, but people don't understand, this same Samuel Untermeyer is the same one who took Scofield, made him famous in the New York circles, took him to Oxford Press, and got the Scofield Bible published. The same guy, Samuel Untermeyer. Look it up under Wikipedia. Samuel Untermeyer is also the same person who blackmailed Woodrow Wilson for the $40,000 from his affair at Princeton, saying that he wanted to be able to support the first Jewish Supreme Court person in the Supreme Court when there was an opening, and he would pay the $40,000 blackmail fee. He's also the one who got Wilson to pass the Federal Reserve Act, and also is the one who wrote the legislation on the Federal Reserve Act as far as the law itself. Untermeyer did, Samuel Untermeyer. The same guy did all of this stuff.
We're going to have to do a show on this, Ted.
Oh, but my God.
You know what, my friend? We're almost out of time. We got about 30 seconds. So tell people how they can follow your good work.
You can listen to the radio show at Global Star, same channel as Dave is on. You can go to healthmasters.com. Use Dave's coupon for 5% off. And what also, you can listen to our show on an 800 number. It's not an 800 number. It's a general phone call number every single day. Or you go listen to it online 3 to 4 every single day on Global Star, the Ted and Austin Brower Show. Hope you guys have enjoyed the broadcast today with Dave.
Absolutely fascinating, Ted. I want to thank you for joining us. Always really good. Can't wait to have you back. Stay tuned, everybody. Hours 2 and 3, Robert David Steele of the CIA. We'll see you back here. Stay tuned.